The name of this blog this time is Requiring Peace Before God Can Move. And I want you to turn with me if you would. And of course, you never have to look anything up because I always read it. But if you want to, this is Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2. And it says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And so there is, sometimes we just get this desire for the Lord. We want more of Jesus, and that desire can become so strong. And you hear that from David in Psalm 63. And I also have Psalm 143, verse 6 and 7. He says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. And when we get in these places, we long for his presence. We want his presence. We want the presence of the Lord. We want to spend time with him. And we want him probably... most of us would say we want him to move in our life. And that's what I hear in these cries, you know. But that's when our heart begins to cry out. And there's this desire that we might be a partaker of his glory, that we might see his face, that we, and some of these things were mentioned. Even the scriptures in the New Testament talk about the deep things of God. But then there's the tangible facts that are around us. All around, it's not a perfect setting. All around us seems to have interruptions and aggravations and troublesome circumstances that, you know, our heart is in that place. It's in a good place. But it's like all those things are going on. And there becomes a longing, you know, if only in my life, or if only in our life, we didn't have such super negative situations disturbing us all the time. And our thought is, if that were the case, then I could be with God. Then things would be the way that I want. And of course, that's a common thought among Christians, is that we're convinced that, you know, what we need, what we really need is, you know, peaceful circumstances to help us so that we can really find the Lord. And when we feel that way, I mean, it's kind of a combination of really wanting the Lord, like the scriptures that we began with. And then this other combination is that there's these circumstances that are just not peaceful. And in our minds, don't feel like they are conducive to knowing him and getting after him. And in fact, then some things that can spring up is that we become jealous of others who have better situations, because they seem to have conditions that are the best for God to be able to move and to do something. And we look at them and we're a little jealous, and we go, man, you know, they don't have any disturbances, they don't have any problems, they don't have anything going on in their life. And I jotted down this little couple of sentences here. Those people, it's as if you would say in your heart when you see them and feel jealousy, those people have the Lord because they don't have the chaos or the troubles that I endure. it is easy for them because they don't have the nightmare situation that I have. And, you know, when we would say that, little do we realize that the Bible paints a completely different picture than that picture. Completely different. So let's go through a couple of examples, several examples of what I'm talking about, and how God had to bring around negative circumstances before he could really move. That instead of God bringing peace so he could really move, he had to bring about negative circumstances or hard situations or totally unpeaceful, not peaceful circumstances so that he could move in their life. And so I just jotted down, honestly, I just tried to think of a few and started jotting them down from the Bible. The Babylonian captivity. The whole point of that was to bring them back to God. I mean, it was, a nightmare scenario, and yet that's what God used. Paul, the Apostle Paul, with the thorn in his flesh, brought him deeper into the Lord than he would have had if he'd never had that. Hannah, being tormented, was pushed into a situation where she was just desperate for the Lord. Esther, I wrote here, Haman helped move her from a bride to the wife of the Lamb. Job, he lost everything, but it brought him back to God in a new way. All of these examples so far are being brought back to God in a new way. Gideon, same thing. Samson, same thing. Onesimus, maybe you're not familiar with him in the book of Philemon, but it took prison to get him to the Lord. A dark situation, and I'm sure prison back then was more of a dungeon situation. Joseph, his whole family turned against him, and he's thrown into a dungeon. All of those are, and no, honestly, I'm just being honest, that was just real quick with me off the top of my head. I know that God many times has to bring about chaos and or dark situations or circumstances that are so unpeaceful, and we think that we're not going to get the Lord in it. And every one of the ones just off the top of my head were the very thing that they were able to come to the Lord in the midst of. I was also thinking of David, so I looked up a few scriptures. In Psalm 119, verse 67, David says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." He also says in Psalm 141, verse 5, "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities." And then Psalm 1, we know this one, but I wanted to emphasize a particular theme in this verse that I'd really never noticed before in this context that we're talking about. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And when it's dark, day and night. And so, you know, the question becomes, well, who believes this then? Who believes this? First of all, who believes this thing that I'm saying right now? That's an incredible question, and it was posed by one of the prophets. Isaiah 53 starts with this. It says, "Who hath believed our report?" Okay. Report of what? Okay. Let me go ahead. "And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. So what is the report that those who are really in touch with God wonder if anybody has believed this? Those who know the Lord, those who are really in tune with God, there's a report that they're wondering, who has believed this report? Well, the report is, and I'll read my few sentences here, it has to do with believing that you can have peace, growth, tenderness, and be with the Lord in trouble or dry circumstances. That's the report, that you can be with him and be literally, in Jesus' case, at the height of being with him. Few believe that report, and that is why so many feel that they are handicapped by less than spiritual circumstances. Okay, so what was the report specifically? Well, the report specifically was Jesus as the example. Who can look at this example and see that there's a report to be believed? So the scripture says there, I want to make sure that you understand what I was trying to emphasize, and that was, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no beauty. He's despised. He is, okay? So, so Jesus was still rooted in that dry ground, though it was dry, even though it is dry. In an extremely negative situation, Jesus is gaining something even in that dry ground. And he is that root out of dry ground. So how is this dry ground described by God in the report that is supposed to be the example to us? Well, I read part of it. It's the dry ground is being despised and being rejected and looked upon, you know, looked down upon, and much worse than that. Much worse than that. Horribly worse than that. And yet here, he is a root out of dry ground. I wrote, but it is in the midst of such elements that we begin, that he brings forth life to others regardless of his situation. Now, who has believed that report? That's the report. And I was thinking about the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 20. They're in negative circumstances, and they don't believe the report. Do you remember that? It even uses the word report. But they don't believe the report. Numbers 20, 3 and 4, and the people chided Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord, and why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die here? They were literally taken to the dry ground by, you know, literally. That's where God took them out of all the stuff that they're griping that they wish they had not left in Egypt. God literally took them into the dry ground to get them into the place where he wanted them to be. And who took them there? God. It wasn't Moses. Moses was just obeying what God said. And that verse 4 says, why? Why? That's the question. Why? This is so dry. This is so dark. Or this is so whatever. Why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we should die there? That is totally not believing the report. You know, it is a good land. We are well able to overcome. They are bread for us. All that stuff that comes up. So I wrote, we view the landscape of our lives or situation as the worst. And we cry out in want for a more positive and spiritually fruitful ground. When the farmer wants fruit, he walks out and looks at his land full, chock full of rocks, stumps, and weeds. Or maybe just as a vast landscape that is parched and lacking and hopeless, bringing tears and despair. Is this how we view our situation? Like that? Well, so then what can we do then? We hear the word, we know that the word is full of examples like this, but what can we do? The first thing that we can do is believe the report. Believe that God can make you a root out of dry ground. Okay? Believe that. And so what does that mean? I wrote down, believe that God does not look for those in perfect circumstances, but for hearts that are brought to no trust in having the perfect circumstances. Philippians 3 talks about that. And for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. This is the perfect circumstances. On Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, meaning perfect circumstances, those I counted loss for Christ. I counted loss to have the root out of dry ground, the one I trust in. I believe the report. Matthew 4:6 says, you're familiar with these scriptures. It says, the people, what people? The people, this people that I'm going to talk about here, this scripture is saying to us. The people which sat in darkness. The people which sat in darkness saw. They saw. Not the ones that sat in great, comfortable, wonderful situations. But the people that sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death is light sprung up. Or you could read it like this. They that sat, not just they that are in darkness, but they're sitting there, they're in this circumstances, sitting in this circumstances of darkness. They saw. They saw light. If we don't believe the report, we won't look for it. If we don't believe the report, we will curse the dry ground instead of become a root out of it. If we don't believe the report, then we will miss what throughout the Bible, constantly, story after story after story, God brought them into, like Israel, brought them into a dry ground. In the wilderness, took them from a fruitful land in Egypt. And they were griping about Egypt and saying, well, you know, there's no bread, you know, we're not getting this and that, whatever. So God is going to lead them to where he wants to. But he didn't place Egypt and then place the promised land right next to it. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He put a desert in between. And there, they would learn. Those that would learn, they would learn. Christ is my root out of this dry ground. Jesus is that. And so, I want to read this one again. It's Matthew 4:16. The people which sat. See, they're not passing through it here. They're sitting in darkness. The people that sat, that went ahead and sat down in it and trusted him, sat in darkness, saw great light. They saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light sprung up. So finally, just this little tidbit, you know, to think about. You know, when you're in your situations and whatever, don't judge each day by the harvest that you reap that day. Judge it by the seeds that you sow. Don't judge each day by the harvest that you are reaping or not reaping. Judge it by the seeds of Christ that you're sowing. Whether that's sitting in darkness and just looking at the scriptures and saying, Holy Spirit, make this alive in me, not by my might or my perfect circumstances, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we have so many ideas of what we think is necessary to get to you. And we usually think in terms of what satisfies or is most comfortable to us, what we think would bring forth all the desires and the cries, as we read, that were in David's heart in the beginning of this blog. But Lord, your Spirit is on us to prepare us to receive and believe the report of Isaiah 53, the report of Esther, the report of Hannah, the report of Joseph, the report of Paul, the report on and on and on of your people, these people that sat in darkness in the Bible saw a great light. You didn't leave them there, but they needed to believe the report and cease trying to change the circumstances to what they think would be best, and reject that wilderness journey, or reject that dry desert. There, David cries out. There is the most pure prayers that David prayed in the Bible. The ones that touch our hearts the deepest. Help us, Holy Spirit, to begin to believe the report, so that the tide can be turned and the growth can come and the movement of God can be there in our lives at all times, day or night. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.